You're listening to Tuesday Night's Arena. Elaine ni Chuilleanán has been described as the Vermeer of contemporary poetry. The same Guardian Review from 2015 continued, "Her luminous interiors achieve great visual beauty. They are sites where history and the individual brush against each other." That review from Angel Clare may apply equally to her new poetry collection, The Mother House, which is published by Gallery Press. And Elaine is with me in studio right now. When you hear words like that said about your poetry, they're very poetic, it has to be said. It's a great image, isn't it, you know? History and the individual brushing against each other.
It's all very flattering, isn't it? Mm. It's very nice. And I suppose the Vermeer idea is particularly thrilling, really.
Yeah, how visual a writer would you consider yourself to be?
I think I'm very visual. I'm very occupied by how to try to express in words what you see, because what you see is all at once. Mm. And then in words, it takes time. And maybe by the time you've finished, people haven't really got much of an idea of what you saw.
So is there a sense of a translation then in some way? You know, this idea of when people try to put a novel on screen, you're translating from one medium basically to another. Is that what you're doing? Is the act of poetry an act of translation in and of itself?
It is, I think, as I do it. Not, I mean, I don't always deal with visual things, but I'm very interested in sight lines and perspectives. And these are the metaphors that occur to me very naturally. Also, of course, space and how space changes people and how a person changes when they go through a particular door or look out a particular window.
Yeah, there is a lot of viewing that goes on in different poems in the collection. The Mother House, however, the title of the collection itself gives us a very strong hint to a subject that is very important to you and has been, I think, across several collections, the idea of nuns. Now, why are nuns such an important aspect in your own life?
Partly because of just the generation I belong to was, to some extent, surrounded by nuns, schools, hospitals. My aunts, there were three of them who were nuns, and the other three unmarried sisters of that family really were sort of amateur nuns. So,
what kind of a nun is an amateur nun now?
Well, they're much more pious.
Are they more pious?
The real nuns couldn't stand it. They used to have to come and stay with us to get away from the family rosary.
And did piety play any role in your own life, either in the amateur way or in the more professional way of the nuns themselves?
Well, I think that there was a great deal of pressure on reasonably well-behaved and intelligent girls. That they seemed to be headed for the convent. Mm. And I thought, that's the last thing I want. I, for some reason, I knew from a very early age that it was not what I wanted. But then when I started writing poetry, these figures and these spaces and these moments started coming in. I suppose my real justification is this is history. It's a big part of women's history. And it's a part which is to a great extent disappearing. And I think the record has to be kept. And the feelings that went with that record.
Yeah, and it's also a history that has good and bad sides to it. Is it important to record both aspects?
Yes, from all sides. I mean, historically, people who were forced into convents, for example, historically, people who did not behave as well as they should have, people who I think were often subjected to all kinds of pressures from the institutional church, because the institutional church saw nuns as people to be controlled and very often to be kept out and kept down.
And certainly the opening poem in the collection, I think, is about a nun and a woman who was the direct, who was not ever going to be put down. Literally, wasn't going to even going to be put down after she died. She wasn't going to be put anywhere.
No.
You might explain a little bit about an imperfect enclosure before you read it.
Nan O'Nagle, who lived in the 18th century, one of the things that struck me when I looked at her was she's something you find on both sides of the religious divide in Ireland at that time. She's a philanthropist. She's a well-off woman who wants to spend her money to do good. And there were lots of them. Maria Edgeworth, whom I also write about in this book, is one of them. But she was also, of course, a very pious woman. And the church would have liked to tidy her up and keep her inside convent walls. And it's, I think it's not her, but one of her helpers, a priest, who was trying to explain to the people in Rome that she couldn't really be locked up. And he said, perfect enclosure is not possible in Ireland. And that seemed to be a very good idea. And then when I saw, I grew up in Cork, but I actually didn't see Nan O'Neill's tomb until quite recently. And when I saw it, when I saw the fact that you could touch the coffin, that there was a little latch, you know, that she was still to some extent open to
It was quite visitors. Definitely an imperfect enclosure.
Yes.
Maybe you'd read the poem for us, so.
Okay. An imperfect enclosure. She was out in all weathers. She was tired. Someone gave her a chair in a shop, rested, and then away in the street on the move. The house she built first, giving on the street. Could she close up doors and windows on that side? It would be noticed as a convent. She asked to be buried in the common cemetery. They broke through the wall of the nun's graveyard and slipped her coffin inside. But she would not stay, so they built her a stone tomb nearer to Cove Lane and opened a latch at one end so hands can touch the coffin.
And that's Elaine Ní Chuileánaigh reading the opening poem, An Imperfect Enclosure, and that's from her latest collection, The Mother House. And opening with a poem like that, with a nun at the very centre of it, and with the title, The Mother House, there is a poem later on about To the Mother House, which obviously fed into the title as well. The Mother House, a reference to a convent, does it have other connotations for you, Elaine, that you enjoyed, how they might seep through into the meanings for other poems in the collection?
Well, I think mother and house are two very resonant words anyway. I think also the people in this poem are actually real, including the nun who went to Belsen, because she was hiding an airman in a French convent. So it's partly, again, an attempt to deal with history. But I think also to suggest that there was something, to my mind, welcoming in some of those convents that I visited as a child, visiting my aunts. And that feeling of a place of peace and a place where women voluntarily lived together was very interesting to me.
In the title poem, if you like, it's not quite the title poem of the collection, since the poem is called To the Mother House, the collection is The Mother House. There's a reference to Sister Clara, Sister Anthony meeting a niece. Is this purely autobiographical or, you know?
Well, I think a lot of people who think about nuns' lives don't realise how close they were to their own families, often not seeing them for years and years at a time. But those bonds were very important. I did actually sit with my aunt and another nun in the convent garden in Deve, listening to them all talking French, because it had become their natural language.
Yeah, and you, having grown up in a bilingual household, was that third language an important language within your childhood as well?
Very important when I was growing up, and in my sort of early adulthood, because French was the language through which you met other cultures as well. You know, a lot of things that were written in other languages I read first in French.
The other, not only is The Mother House, this new collection just been published, but you're also about to launch a new issue of Ciphers, and this was the literary magazine that you founded, 1975, I think it
yes.
was founded, wasn't it, with your late husband, MacDara Woods, Leland Bardwell and Pierce Hutchinson, the four of you together making this collection. And I suppose it's inevitable. I was checking with you before we came to air tonight. Is this the first collection since MacDara died? In fact, it's only... barely
less than 18 months.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how do you think, if you can even begin to put words on it, his death has informed the writing of this collection? I presume some of it would have been in action before he even was ill, perhaps.
A lot of it was in action before he was ill, and a lot of it was in action before I realised how ill he was, because I can be slow on the uptake sometimes. I think that I'm experiencing now, of course, is the loss of the person to whom I used to show things and say, is this finished? You know, you wouldn't show a person something when it was only half written, but you'd get a steer from somebody.
Do you think, you know, being a fellow, the both of you being poets, did that make the showing and the sharing much easier, despite, never mind the, you know, the being spouses?
I think so. I think that, again, I used to show things to various other, to my other colleagues, to Leland and especially to Pierce. Mm. And sometimes I would say, I'm not happy with this. And he'd say, no, leave it the way it is, you know. And McNarrow would say that sometimes. I could pick out the ones in this and book that I showed to him.
Yeah, and the ones that were. And can you see and almost feel the edits that he suggested, or maybe ideas that he put to you as he was reading them?
It would be things like, you know, you'd missed something, people don't sow crops. At that time of year.
Yeah, so he'd be a little detail sometimes that he would just help to say, look, that's going to take away from the authenticity of the poem.
And sometimes he'd say, that's a bit lambent. You know?
Lambent?
Yes.
That's a great word. What did he mean by that?
I think he meant it was a bit poetic and maybe one should look at it again and see if there was another way of putting it.
More direct, perhaps.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe, I know Italy was a large part of your lives, and the Morandi Bridge, which was the bridge that collapsed in Genoa, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
You've written a poem that's, it's not quite the final poem in the collection, but it's just before the coda of the collection. Maybe you'd read that for us as we finish up.
Yes. The Morandi Bridge, which actually fell down in August of last year, 2 months after McNarrow died. And I realised it's one of the things you keep thinking of. I must tell him this. I can't tell him this. Let me lean my cheek against this limestone pillar. I want to press until I feel the buzzing, the sound the world makes when it isn't going anywhere. A purr of grey transparent wings hovering in one place, a humming to itself, because it needs to lie still, stay quiet and recover, and who will bring help? The noise when the bridge fell down in Genoa, the road you and I drove along slowly, heading east behind a small Fiat, packed and weighed down with people, cake and flowers for a mother-in-law that made a Sunday lunch. They were taking their time. It was lunchtime again each year when we reached the bridge, and the families were always on the move, so we'd drive along slowly those 15 minutes, high up over the factories and streets. I would tell you this news if the stones of the world could carry language, but after 8 months, the shock and the noise inside them still, they cannot move or even allow a message to pass through.
Elaine Ní Chuileánán with her poem The Morandi Bridge from her new collection, The Mother House. It's extraordinarily moving, that poem. I don't know, it must be very difficult for you even to read it, but to get to the point of writing it, the fact that it took you, the poem addresses this fact that it took you time to even to be able to begin to address his passing in poetry, Elaine.
Yes, I think there are poems in this book that are about that. They're about shock. They're about the fact that you just have to freeze and stand back. And I think it's a subject. It's something that happens to people.
Well, you say he wouldn't have heard it. I'm sure he heard that.
Ah, well.
I hope he did. Yes. In some way or shape or form. That's The Mother House is the new collection that Elaine Ní Chuileánán has been speaking to us about. It's published by Gallery Press, and the new issue of Ciphers magazine will be launched tomorrow evening at 6:30 p.m. That's Tuesday the 12th of November. Am I married?
No, that's right.
Yeah, at Books Upstairs, and all are welcome to that particular launch.